We are children of God, so we are heirs of God. These two should be related together. Why it's so important we are children of God? It's because we are children of God, so we are heirs of God. Let's turn to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. Verse 18. Then Naomi said, "Sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out. For the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day." Naomi wants Ruth. He says, "Sit still. You just have patience to wait. This man, he should have concluding for this manner." Verse 4. Now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there. And behold, the close relative of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said to "Come aside, friend, sit down here." So he came aside and sat down. Verse 2, and he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." So they sat down. It's a serious issue. Boaz invite this person and 10 elders together. Verse 3, then he said to the close relative Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, "So the piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech, for, and I thought to inform you, saying, buy it back in the presence of the inhabitants and the elders of my people, if you will redeem it. But if you will not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know, for there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am next after you." And he said, I will redeem it. So this is the main issue. Who is going to redeem that piece of land? Five, this person say, "I will redeem it." Verse 5, then Boaz said, "On the day you buy the field from the hand of the Naomi, you must also buy it from Ruth, the Moabites, the wife of the dead." Ruth's husband is Kilian, to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance. But this is the condition. If you redeem that piece of land, and you also need to marry Ruth. Verse 6, and the close relative say, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I ruin my own inheritance. You redeem my right to of redemption for yourself, for I cannot redeem it." At the first, he say, I will redeem it. But after he heard the condition, he say, "No, I don't want it. Why? Because he say, it might ruin my own inheritance. Because after he married Ruth, if they had the sons, the first son, will be under the name of Kieran. So the son will inherit the inheritance because the son is the heir. So for this reason, this person say, "Oh no, I will not redeem it." So this is a very important concept we should have. We are heirs of God. So we have the inheritance worthy heaven, an inheritance with which no one is ever dissatisfied or disappointed. This is the best inheritance. Unlike earthly inheritances, which must be left behind at the death, this inheritance can be kept forever. We are heirs of God. Our inheritance will make us satisfied, and it will be forever. So this is why we are children of God. It's so important. We must be God's true children to share this inheritance. So are we God's true children? This is very important for every Christians. It's not necessary. I say, I'm Christian. I'm the child of God. It's not necessary. It's according to the Bible. God should not be people's father on their term. Jesus should not be their savior on their conditions. Yes, today there are many people believe in Jesus. There are many people proclaimed, I'm child of God. But most of the people, they say they are the children of God on their own term. It's not according to the Bible's term. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Many works for God is not necessary. You are children of God. 23, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So this is a very serious issue. Are we true children of God? Thank God in TJC, we have this confidence. We do according to God's will. We are true children of God. We are heirs of God. We are children of God. It's not according to our own term. It's according to God's will. So it is not right to emphasize God's love and mercy and to neglect his holiness and justice. Day by day, our church will become different from other churches more and more. Because nowadays, most of the Christians, they just emphasize God's love and God's mercy. Every issue only based on God's love and God's mercy. Yes, the whole Bible is talking about God's love, God's God's mercy. But God's love and God's mercy always does not against his holiness, his justice. So no matter what, we should still uphold not only God's love and mercy, but also God's holiness and God's justice. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by Spirit of God, these are sons of God. one of the the issues, so-called the sons of God, here say the sons of God should be led by the Spirit. Verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Verse 17, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So here, Paul also emphasized we are heirs of God. So from these several verses, the evidence of the relationship with God, we are children of God, we are heirs of God, here point out one important issue. We should have the work of the Spirit on us. So this is the one of the important evidence. The work of Holy Spirit on us. But I would like to clarify one thing. The work of the Holy Spirit is different from receiving promised Holy Spirit. This is different. The Holy Spirit work on us is not necessary. You have received the promised Holy Spirit. This is different. There is a sister, before he converted to our church, she is a Christian already. And she always argued, discuss with me. He said, I'm a Christian. How could I become a Christian? I believe in Jesus. And I also try my best to observe the teachings of God. Could you say there is no work of Holy Spirit on me? I say yes. You do have the work of Holy Spirit on you. But I'm sorry, you haven't received the Holy Spirit. Occasionally he will pop up this issue to discuss with me. Yes, it's not easy to let her totally understand. I say, how come the Holy Spirit work on me and you say I haven't received the Holy Spirit? So even she kept coming to church to observe the Sabbath with us. I should say he observed the Sabbath even better fervent than some of our weak members. But she hesitated to receive water baptism. I think this is the key issue. I have the work of Holy Spirit on me, but how come I haven't received the Holy Spirit? So it's until one Sabbath, she in the prayer, she received the promised Holy Spirit. So she understand what I have explained to her. Yes, it's different. Before a person receives the Holy Spirit, yes, the work of Holy Spirit on that person, the work of Holy Spirit guides that person to understand Lord Jesus Christ is our only Savior. I should believe in Lord Jesus Christ. I should follow the teachings of the Bible. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. So then, here say, the sons of God should be led by the Holy Spirit. So the sons of God are all led by His Spirit. So how does the Holy Spirit lead us? The Holy Spirit lead us away from sin, from self-righteousness, from the world. Let's turn to John chapter 16. John chapter 16, verse 5. Verse 5, Jesus said, "But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going?" Verse 6, "But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart." Verse 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." The Helper, we know, it is the promise Holy Spirit. One of the comfort thing to the disciples is after Jesus departed from them, and the promised Holy Spirit came upon to them. So this is one of the major issue, why should Jesus departed from the disciples? Of course, the other main issue is Jesus will fulfill the salvation on the cross. Verse 8, "And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." Here, Lord Jesus mentioned the work of the Holy Spirit. Verse 9, of sin because they do not believe in me. So what is sin? If a person did not believe in Jesus, that is sin. Verse 10, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me normal. Verse 11, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. So we should be led by the Holy Spirit. We should have the Holy Spirit to guide us to work on us, so we can be away from sin, from self righteousness, from the world. By the work of the Holy Spirit, we can overcome our own sinful desire. The Holy Spirit led us to Christ, to the Bible, to prayer, to holiness. Let's continue. Verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into the truth, and he will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So not only we should emphasize to receive the Holy Spirit, on the other hand, we also need to emphasize the work of the Holy Spirit. So one of the further meaning to receive the Holy Spirit is we submit ourselves to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Submit ourselves to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. This is one of the true meaning to receive the Holy Spirit. Sometimes this is our problem. We have received the promised Holy Spirit, but people cannot see the work of Holy Spirit on us. This is our problem. The problem is not the Holy Spirit. The problem is ourselves. We do not submit ourselves to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Most of the time, God does not force us to do something. Because God gives us a wonderful gift, that is our free will. So God always respects our free will. So we need to make a resolution. I want to submit myself to the Holy Spirit. Many times we encourage each other, pray for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. When we say, I want to pray the fullness of the Holy Spirit, it's also the means. God, help me. I want to submit myself to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. This is the things we need to encourage each other. So if we submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit work on us, so we by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we can enter into the Bible. We can have a holy life. We can enjoy in our prayer. Let's turn back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 17. Verse 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and join heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Here say, we join heirs with Christ. How could we inherit the heavenly kingdom? Here Paul say, we join heirs with Christ. It's because of Christ, Lord Jesus Christ. So indeed, Lord Jesus Christ is so important in our life, in our journey of faith, even related to the future inheritance. We ourselves, we are not worthy to inherit the heavenly kingdom. Because we join to Lord Jesus Christ. So, furthermore, Paul would like to emphasize the heirs of God should share in suffering with Christ. If we say we join the heirs of Lord Jesus Christ, it is also means we will share in suffering with Lord Jesus Christ. So for this reason, we should expect there are some trials, some suffering in our daily life. Human's intention is we would like to have an easy life. But we join the heirs of Lord Jesus Christ. So we should prepare ourselves to go through the trials, the suffering. So we will experience trials from this world, from our surrounding. Let's turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 17, verse 14. John chapter 17, verse 14. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Jesus came to this world, but he is not of this world. Today, we are in Lord Jesus Christ. So we still live in this world, but we are not of this world. This is also a very important important concept we should have. We do not depart from this world. We live in this world. But we are not of this world. For this reason, just like here, Jesus mentioned, this world will hate us. So we might experience trials from this world. We should experience trials from our flesh. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is our goal. Walk in the Spirit. Submit ourselves to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. But it is not an easy task. 17. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things what you wish. So these two compete in us, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, our flesh lusts. This battle keeps going day by day until we finish our journey. And we experience trials from devil. In Matthew chapter 4, the Satan came to Jesus to try Jesus. In the same way, Satan might use different ways try to attack us. So we will experience these trials with Lord Jesus Christ. We never reach heaven without any suffering at all. We should prepare ourselves. For one hand, we keep receiving the blessing from Lord Jesus Christ. But don't forget, we have hidden treasure, hidden blessings. On the other hand, that is the suffering, that is the trials. Our goal is to inherit the heavenly kingdom. So without the suffering, we cannot reach our goal. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 6. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and soaketh every son whom he receives. Verse 8. But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. The author of Hebrews also emphasized sometimes our suffering is because of the chastising. The result is for our good. The result is because we want to inherit the heavenly kingdom. So suffering is part of God's process to making us holy. The holy God, the basic request from the holy God for his children is holy. This is the basic requirement. So how could we be holy? So here says, suffering is part of God's process of making us holy. So this is the basis of Christian discipleship. We should have a mark of suffering. Let's turn to Job chapter 23. Job chapter 23, verse 10. Verse 10, but he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. God knows our way. So God's way is the best way. God's way might not our way. God's will might not our will. So we need to submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit. And then we can get strength to finish our journey, our trials. Now, let's talk about our inheritance. Even this is in the future, but from the Bible, we can see how does Bible explain our future. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 12. For now we see in the mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. So we will have more understanding, more knowledge about God, about everything. Now we sometimes we struggle in some no answer question. Yes, there are some non unanswered questions in our life, even in our faith. But we know in that day, in the future, if we still the true children of God, and we will know everything, not just a part, we will know whole. Number two, we shall have holiness, real holiness. According to 1 Peter, Peter mentioned the heavenly kingdom. That is so pure. Not any damage, not any defy us, and we will be there. Now we are struggle in the issue of holiness. At that time, no more this kind of struggle. We shall have rest. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. Rest. More and more people need a rest, but they cannot. But they just cannot rest. So in the future, we have the true rest. And we should be able to serve perfectly, valuable. God is so wonderful. God is so perfect. So we would like to serve him also perfectly. But on the earth, we just can try our best. I have mentioned, it's not use our definition to define perfect according to God's definition. Because it is impossible for us to be perfect with this flesh. But in the future, no more flesh. We will transform to become a glory body. So how wonderful. We will perform a perfect service. We shall have satisfaction perfectly. Let's turn to Psalm 17. Psalm 17, verse 15. Verse 15, as for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. By the movement of the Holy, the God's Spirit, here King David, he prophesied the future. When we awake in God's likeness, when we resurrected, we will be like Jesus. We will have a glory body, and we will face to face to our Heavenly Father in righteousness. Here says, I shall be satisfied. This kind of satisfied is perfectly better than any satisfaction nowadays. It's out of our imagination. We should have wonderful fellowship with God's people. Many times when we attend the seminar, we feel it's so wonderful, it's so good here. But the future fellowship is far, far better than now. We should have wonderful communion with Lord Jesus Christ. So now, we are among God's son and heirs. So do not be over concerned about our circumstances in this life. We would like other people. Other people need to work 8 hours a day. The same, we work 8 hours a day. People need to spend time to study. Yes, we also spend our time to study. We put our effort in many aspects, but we don't need worry about them. We don't be over concerned. The sons of God, we should live in a way that is worthy of our father and father's family. I would like to point out, number one, we should honor God in our life by obeying His commandments and loving all His children. We belong to God. We are in the house of God, so we should honor our Heavenly Father in our daily life. We should love one another. This is one of the mark of the disciples of Lord Jesus Christ. How could people tell you are the follower of Lord Jesus Christ? Because we practice love one another. Not only just in the church, but also when we go out of the church, we are still brothers and sisters. We still help each other, support each other, love each other. We live in this world as one who does not belong here, but is traveling to a home in glory. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 9. Verse 9. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise. He dwelt in Canaan, as in a foreign country, dwelling in the tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Verse 10. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and the maker is God. So in the ancient time, the author of Hebrew, he interpret how did Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they lived in the Canaan. This is their attitude. So in the same way, now we still live in this world, but we have the same attitude. We are longing for the city which is built, made by God. So we are on the journey to our true home. Number three, let us see what a good and happy thing is to be. Let others see what a good and happy thing it is to be a son of God. We also need to keep reminding ourselves, we are the witness for our Lord Jesus Christ. We are the witness of the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. So could others see Lord Jesus from us? What is our daily life? This is our witness. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. We should be ready to bear the witness for our Lord Jesus Christ. Thus people can see we have this true hope. Thus people admire you are Christian. You are a member of True Jesus Church. Now we are among the children of God. Now we are the heirs of God. We should do something in our life for God. Even we still young, but the time will very soon come. Let's pray in silence.